Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There are some things in life that are just too difficult to go through alone. Some hurts, some pains that we don't want to carry on our own. And sometimes that can be the loss of a job, the loss of someone that we love. And in those moments, we instinctively turn to others, to those who are closest to us, to share that burden. As a matter of fact, even when the hurts are small, we do that instinctively because we all know from hard experience that when we go to someone else with our burdens, with the weight of our sorrows, and we share that with them, it takes some of the weight of those things off our shoulders. While it doesn't change the reality of what we might be experiencing, it does make living through that experience that much easier. See, we were created as social creatures, and that's why periods of isolation are so devastating to us. It's why in prisons, social isolation is used as a punishment. And we've all learned the hard way over the last 2 months just how much we need each other and how much we rely on that social interaction as we've been social distancing for a good cause, for a good reason, to protect others. That doesn't make that reality any easier for us. We can also learn from the pages of Scripture itself that isolation isn't good. So you go all the way back to the beginning, to the opening chapters of the Bible. At creation, as God created everything that we see around us in the span of 6 days, He calls it good, day after day after day, until there's one thing that God said is not good. You know what it is? God says it is not good that man should be alone. And so to fix that problem, to complete what God had created, He formed Eve for Adam. He formed Eve out of Adam, a helper suitable for him, someone to walk alongside him. And this brings me to our gospel reading for today. So if you've got Bibles at home, you can take them out and open up to John chapter 14, or you can simply listen to these words again, the beginning of our gospel reading for today, where Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans." Now, the context of these words is important. Jesus speaks these words on the last night He's with His disciples before He goes to the cross. He speaks them after He's shared His last supper with them, after He's washed their feet, after He's given them this new commandment. He says, "Love one another as I have loved you." He speaks these words after what we heard last week in last week's gospel reading, where He says to His disciples, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, you can be sure that I'll come back and bring you to me so that you can be where I am." And of course, Thomas was the one who opened up his mouth and he said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It was then that Jesus spoke these words. He wanted them to know that while He was leaving them shortly, while He was leaving them, He wasn't leaving them alone. He was sending them someone to be with them. The helper, the comforter, the advocate. We know this as the Holy Spirit. See, this word for helper, a paraclete, that's in John chapter 14. It's a combination of two Greek words, and the sense of it is one called alongside. And so as Jesus is describing the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is meant to be for His disciples and for you and for me, He uses this word, one called alongside. It's this image of someone who is called alongside of someone in the midst of a trial or suffering or pain, someone who can help them share the weight of that burden so that they don't go through that moment alone. and in times of trouble, having that understanding of the Holy Spirit as our paraclete, our helper, our comforter, our advocate, is incredibly important. And it's incredibly comforting. Because as I said before, there are some things in life that are just too difficult to go through alone. Now, many times when we find ourselves in a bind, we cry out to God. We pray, Jesus, help me, take this thing from me. Or when we have an important decision that needs to be made, we pray to God, God, give me the answer. Show me the decision that I should make. And it's natural for us to do that. Because when it comes to suffering and to pain and discomfort, none of us are comfortable with that, whether it's physical or emotional. It's natural that we turn immediately to God and we ask God to take those things away from us. And when we think about it briefly, it would be great if God gave us a promise that he would immediately take those things from us, that all we had to do was take our problem, whatever it happened to be, to him, and he would wave a magic wand and poof, it would be taken care of. Like a celestial vending machine, we put our prayer in the slot, we make our selection, and then God gives us exactly what we want in exactly the moment that we want it. But when it comes right down to it, is that what we really want? Is that what's best? A magical fairy godmother who grants our every request? Now, you might say yes, especially if you're suffering under something, some heavy burden right now. But when I look back at my life and the things that I hoped for and prayed for in my life, if I'd gotten everything the way that I wanted it at the time that I wanted it, it would have led me down a very different road. There's an old song from Garth Brooks called Unanswered Prayers that speaks to this issue. And in this song, Garth tells the story of a husband and wife. And this husband takes his wife back to his old high school to watch a football game. While they're there, they run into his old high school sweetheart. And so he introduces his wife to this woman, and as he's looking at her, he's reminded of all the prayers that he prayed when they were together when he was in high school. Prayers that sounded essentially like, God, let us stay together, be together forever. God, if you just grant me this one request, I'll never ask for anything else ever again. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that before? But then, as the song continues, this man, he looks at his wife, and in that moment, he thanks God for his unanswered prayers. That God didn't answer that prayer the way he wanted back in high school. Now, to be clear, God doesn't ignore our prayers. I don't think there is such a thing as an unanswered prayer. But I do think that sometimes the way we experience prayer, when we aren't getting what we want in the way that we want it, it can feel sometimes like that prayer is left unanswered. I look at my own life and some of the stuff that I wanted God to fix for me or decide for me. And you know what? Even though I didn't get what I wanted in that moment, even though God didn't take away the pain immediately from me, in the midst of those times, some of those times now I look back on, and there are times I realize that I grew more and developed the most having gone through those things, knowing that God was there by my side. See, Jesus has come and he's dealt with sin, death, and the devil. The biggest worries that you and I can have in this world are taken away. They're not even on the table anymore. But while the war has been won, spiritual battles and skirmishes, they wage around us every day. And it would be great if when we were baptized and our allegiance switches from the world to God's kingdom, it'd be great if Jesus promised us that in that moment of switched allegiances, that all of our problems and trials and temptations would be gone and we'd never have to deal with them again. But that simply wasn't God's plan. Jesus makes that abundantly clear for his disciples and for you and for me. He says, In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He told his disciples, if anyone wants to follow me, they must first deny themselves, take up their cross, and then follow me. It's from the beginning of the church until today, every follower of Christ has known trouble and suffering and trials and pain. But you know what? No one, not one Christian from the beginning until now, has ever walked through those alone. This is, and the Holy Spirit, it gives us, because he's walking alongside us, he gives us a new perspective on our suffering. This is why James is able to write in his letter, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. This is why Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, when he's talking about this thorn in his flesh, this messenger of Satan that's tormenting him, when he recounts that event and he tells the Corinthian church that he's pleaded with God to take this pain, this temptation, this whatever it is, away from him, three times he's pleaded with God that this would be taken from him. But you know what response he receives from Jesus? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul replies, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. With the help of the Holy Spirit by his side, Paul is able to look at this thing that's bothering him, this suffering that he's going through. And he's able to see that in those moments when he's at his weakest, when he doesn't have the strength to deal with these things on his own, it's in those moments he sees most clearly Christ in him, the power of Christ in him. And that's why Paul's able to say that when he is weak, then he is strong. See, Jesus, this is why Jesus told his disciples that although he was leaving them, he wasn't leaving them alone. He was sending them the Holy Spirit, one who would literally come alongside them. Because God knew that there were some things in this life that they would encounter that would be too much for them to handle on their own. And God wasn't about to leave them to their own devices. And what was good news for them is good news for you and for me as well. Because God has given us that same Holy Spirit, given it to you in the waters of baptism, and the Holy Spirit has walked with you, alongside you every step of the way ever since. So you've been given the Holy Spirit to see you through the trials that you face. But as we know, our God is a gracious giver, gives us more than we could ever ask for or imagine. He's given us more than just the Holy Spirit. He's also given us one another, the church. Over the past 2 months, God has reminded me again of the strength of the church in general and chapel in particular. And that strength is that we have one another. There's a reason that we meet together every week. It's not because it's something that it's nice to do. It's not because we do it for the sake of tradition. We gather together every week because God calls us to do that. And God calls us to do that because he knows that we need that mutual support and encouragement that we can give to one another. Now, obviously, the way this gathering has happened has changed for the last 2 months, as we've had to gather remotely in our homes. But while this is a new experience for us, it's not unique in the history of the church. Over the course of the last 2,000 years, there have been times like this before where, because of persecution or sickness, the church has had to change the way it gathers for a time. But take heart, this is not the new normal. As we work through this period of isolation, as you encounter trials and suffering of any kind, I want you to remember and keep in your mind these words of Jesus from John 14, where he says again, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you, the Spirit of truth. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus has died and risen again for you. He has sent you the Holy Spirit to be with you. He will not leave you as orphans. So encourage one another with these words this week. God bless you.